Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Brian Fisher entitled his article posted on RenewAmerica.com the day after the November 6th election, "Yesterday was Pearl Harbor, today we start planning for Normandy." I believe most Bible-believing Christians agree with him. The many articles I've read since the 6th, by and large, point to one thing. We need truly conservative candidates who will not back away from the social issues because voters know it's more than the economy that makes a country work. Most recognize that unless the social issues are addressed, the economic issues will never be fixed. Besides a presidential election on November 6th, four states looked at the marriage issue: Maine, Maryland, Minnesota, and Washington State. My guest today is Peter LaBarbera of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, and he wrote an article about the results from those four marriage initiatives, and also the article dealt with other state issues. So he will help us understand what went wrong in those four states. And Peter, thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me.
You know, as I mentioned, there were the marriage issues in those four states, but beyond those four marriage issues, there was also bad news for our side when it came to the homosexual agenda as a whole. What were some of the other things that happened on the 6th that advanced the homosexual agenda?
Oh, it was a wipeout, Diane. Of course, we got the four states, which is Maine, Washington State, Maryland, all passed legal so-called gay marriage, and then Minnesota, the voters rejected a traditional marriage amendment of the sort that has been passed in over 30 states. So there was that. Then there were some terrible election losses. Of course, we elected the most radically pro-homosexual, pro-transgender president in U.S. history, Barack Obama. And in Wisconsin, this is incredible, Diane, a radical open lesbian named Tammy Baldwin became the first open lesbian to win in the U.S. Senate.
Well, the halfway good news about that is that she was a congresswoman, so she's not new to Washington, but she's new to the U.S. Senate. Yes,
The bad news is, well, of course, this is actually good news for us, is that the Republican Party, of course, and her opponent Tommy Thompson, the former governor of Wisconsin, I haven't looked into it too much, Diane, but what I hear is that they did not want to make her homosexuality an issue. Or mm-hmm. her homosexual activist agenda, and so once again the Republicans seem to be on this awful tear now of saying that social issues are not part of these campaigns.
Yeah.
And you talk about shooting yourself in the foot.
Absolutely.
The Republican Party is taking off a whole plate of issues, which shows how they are different, or at least a lot of conservatives, how they are different from Democrats. And that apparently happened in Wisconsin. My initial reports that I'm getting are, in fact, I heard from a good source in Wisconsin who said that one of the Tommy Thompson, her Republican opponent, one of Tommy Thompson's staffers tried to send out some tape of Tammy Baldwin, the lesbian who won, speaking at a gay pride parade, and he was chastised by the Thompson campaign. In other words, you can't point out her lesbianism.
Uh-huh.
That's not allowed.
Yeah, so basically they allowed the voters to go to the polling booth uneducated. Unless they followed her voting record, which is very pro-homosexual, they had no idea that she was an open lesbian. Not only that, though, that she's pushing the homosexual agenda. She's pushing same-sex marriage. She's pushing the Employment Non-Discrimination Act and all that other very bad stuff. So,
well, I don't know how much the average voter was informed.
Probably
not. I assume a lot. Many voters were, like you said, uninformed.
Yeah.
And then there's always the penchant of these libertarian, sort of economic-minded
mm-hmm.
conservative groups, which probably pounded Baldwin on her conservative stuff.
Yeah.
But as you said in your intro,
there's
much, much more to a candidate and her
Absolutely.
Character than just economic issues. And it certainly would have mattered to many Wisconsin citizens
mm-hmm.
that Tammy Baldwin was not just a lesbian, but she was a hardcore pro-homosexual, pro-abortion activist.
Yeah, and unless the Republican Party gets it when it comes to the tie between economic issues and social issues. I mean, unless you fix those social issues, you are never going to fix the economic issues. And by and large, conservative Americans want to hear about the social issues, and that marks the difference between the two parties. And if the one party that's supposed to be the conservative party doesn't want to deal with the social issues, there's really no marked difference. I mean, the last debate, Romney, three quarters of the time, he agreed with what Obama was saying. So.
Yeah, and I think Romney made some key errors. One was, of course, and this is, you know, turns out, you know, we knew Mitt Romney was a very flawed candidate
right.
from our perspective.
Right.
He was the most pro-homosexual governor for a Republican, radically pro-homosexual
mm-hmm.
politicians. And,
yeah.
and they're in the middle of the campaign, Diane, I don't know if you remember this, but Politico reports that Romney reiterated his support for homosexuals in the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, and homosexual adoption and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
And in the military.
In the military.
He said he was
mm-hmm.
not going to challenge Obama on homosexuals in the military. And then Paul Ryan followed suit.
Right, down in
and
Florida.
So once again, it's kvetch and retreat for the Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, the Jewish phrase, kvetch, is like complain. You know, we fight for these issues like they're really important. Then we lose.
Mm-hmm.
And then we say, okay, well, that issue's not important anymore. Let's move on to the next defeat.
Yeah.
And contrast that with Democrats and the liberals. The liberals, the gay activists, when they lose, they plot, okay, how are we going to get this ground back?
Oh, and that's absolutely, you know, yeah, and that's what we see.
And we're the total mm-hmm. opposite. You know, here's Paul Ryan coming out in the middle of the campaign saying, oh, it would be a big mistake. He said it would be a big mistake to raise the issue of homosexuality yeah. in the military right now and try to repeal what Obama did, homosexualizing the military. Big mistake. I thought that was part of our platform.
Yeah. Well, it is part of the platform. So is pro-life and all that kind of stuff. But how many candidates, Republican candidates out there were not dealing with even the life issue? But yeah, it's in
right.
the platform. But who was it? John Boehner said after the platform was ratified, he said platforms don't matter anyway or something like that.
Well, yeah. And remember, now here's the key one that Romney did. Romney, in the second debate, Obama, one of the questioners started asking about, I think it was public funding, taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. And Romney, what he said, he didn't address the abortion, the taxpayer-funded abortion issue at all, which is a huge winner for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think it pulls in a lot of people in the middle.
Absolutely.
Nobody wants their taxpayer dollars to be used to kill unborn babies, which is what Planned Parenthood is good at, killing babies.
Right. 54 million.
So instead of raising that, Romney falls back on, well, what really matters to women is the economy. So once again, he punted on the social issues. He really did not believe. He didn't act like a conservative because he wasn't a conservative, and so a lot of conservatives were not energized by Mitt Romney, and then a lot of them didn't vote for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you look at the stats, and you definitely see that they did not, for sure. Just kind of a tag along with what you just mentioned, that your article uses a couple different phrases here. You say, or descriptions, I guess, would be better. Passion gap or boldness gap. What did you mean by that?
Well, of course, the passion gap is it seems like the gay activists have more act as if they have the truth when they're actually serving a lie, and the Christians act like they're ambivalent about the truth, even though we really have the truth.
Right, yeah.
But the boldness gap, to me, that's how you notice the left and especially gay activists, they're very bold about what they believe. They're very passionate. Gay marriage, they have to have it all.
Yeah.
They can't settle for civil unions. They've got to have it all. And meanwhile, here are the Christians. We've got marriage on the line. We've got marriage on the line.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about redefining marriage in a way it's never been defined before in history. In the Bible, there were polygamous marriages, one man and many women. Unfortunately, that wasn't the true
right.
model that they
yeah,
existed.
They
but never
there.
Before has marriage included two people of the same sex.
Right.
What a perversion. And
Christians don't like to be called names, and they don't like to. Unfortunately, I've been in too many. I've seen too many times where homosexual activists will spout out Bible verses about shelled fish and all that kind of stuff. And like, you know, you eat shelled fish, so why do you oppose same-sex marriage? You know, things like
which,
that.
Yeah, which is totally not
absolutely,
serious.
Absolutely, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, they know they can throw people off. But I think as far as the marriage amendments, Diane, one of the reasons we're not as bold is even our leaders are tending to sugarcoat things
mm-hmm.
a little bit. We don't want it to be about homosexuality. We don't want it to go to the core issue of what it really is, which is the promoting the acceptance of homosexuality in our culture. And so we try to cut corners, and I think that's what's happened. And now it's finally come back to bite us.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about, you know, groups that do great work, like National Organization for Marriage. But I'm sorry, some of their talking points, for example, in Maine, do you know, Diane, in Maine, one of the talking points was that same-sex couples are entitled to respect?
They just use that phrase in Maine. I
figured
they'd use it in all four states.
Yeah, I mean,
since
when? I understand that people are entitled to respect. Even people we disagree with, they're
mm-hmm.
entitled to respect because they're made in the image of God, and we have to respect human dignity. But never are we called upon to respect homosexual behavior and homosexual relationships.
Right.
And so now, in their zeal to get marriage, protect the word marriage, the word from being redefined, now they're starting to concede on homosexual relationships, and that is a loser strategy.
Yeah.
I used to say it's a loser in the long term, Diane, but now I think it's a loser in the short term.
Yeah, and I know that you said for years that unless we actually address the homosexual issue itself, the act itself, when we are fighting any of these fights when it comes to the homosexual issue, unless we educate the public on the dangers of the homosexual lifestyle, the health dangers, the medical dangers, the psychological dangers for the ones involved, we will not help people understand what's involved with this, because it's not just a matter of marriage itself. It's, you know, it's how they are trying to redefine marriage and all that entails. And the, you know, it's just frustrating to me to see four losses last Tuesday. And I know it's very frustrating for you, and I know Ken Hutcherson has a few thoughts on that also, the pastor there in Washington.
I heard that
Washington.
Hush was, Ken Hutcherson was He's kept out living. Of,
yes.
was told yeah. to discourage from yeah. participating. I haven't verified that.
Well,
did you hear the same
thing? Yes, I did. One News Now had an article where he was too controversial. I can't imagine.
So there you go. You asked about the boldness gap.
Exactly.
Here we have a wonderful African-American leader,
bold.
Ken Hutcherson,
yeah.
who's done outstanding work on the homosexual issue, on the schools issue, and our marriage people to protect marriage. Oh, you're too controversial?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's ridiculous. And insofar as our movement starts telling our people that they're too extreme, we're going to lose. I think we have to get back to the real issue, which is homosexual behavior. And, you know, Diane, think about it. I think we're 10 years behind the times here. If you can have a show, Glee, air on Fox primetime, during primetime on the Fox Entertainment Network, that has two teenage boys in a passionate kiss that's set up as a romantic kiss, then we've lost too much ground.
Yeah.
And we cannot concede the acceptance of homosexual behavior. Once you concede that, once you start talking about respect for the gay relationships, then I think we're history.
We're history.
We've got to get back to the principled basics.
Yeah, because we're totally ignoring all that's involved with that lifestyle. And we have lost grounds when it comes to, they've taken over the schools, public schools, K-12, higher education by and large, except a very few institutions of higher education can be trusted with our kids.
Yeah.
And entertainment.
We've gotten to the point where they say, how dare we question the idea of gay youth?
Yeah.
Well, we know that there are impressionable youth who are led into confusion in every other sin and misbehaviors that exist, but suddenly, somehow this one, homosexuality, is the only one we can't question. And that's the problem, is that the homosexual movement actually is very intolerant of, you know, opposing beliefs to the point where they accuse you and me of being hate mongers.
Well, just look at
because we disagree with them.
Just look what happened with Chick-fil-A, with that whole, you know, how that we had the great response on the first and they had the kissing day 2 or 3 days afterwards, which was a total
flop. So
but
I think to boil it down, Diane, as far as these marriage fights as I see it, is we're too fearful.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's because we were afraid, or it's a difficult issue. I think it's a harder issue to argue than life and the pro-life issue. Abortion, I think, is 10 times easier sometimes to debate than homosexuality because there are more warm and fuzzies on abortion. You can put a pro-life bumper sticker on your car, Diane, but not many people want to put anything to deal with homosexuality on their car.
True, true.
So it's a tougher issue, but I think we tried to solve it by saying, oh, we're only going to talk about marriage. And then you hear the National Organization for Marriage, which is a very, you know, well-respected group, the most powerful group probably in the whole pro-family movement, and they're saying, oh, this is not about homosexuality. And I think that leads to a disconnect.
It does,
disingenuous to say this is not about homosexuality. Of course it is. It's the homosexual movement which brought us this whole debate.
Yeah, absolutely. You can disconnect the two. I mean, they're connected to the other like a spider web. It's all intertwined. And
besides, there's lots of issues in the gay agenda that are not about gay marriage. What about the schools? Probably the most important issue we face, and I know certain people like Linda Harvey and you and Lori Higgins have been talking about this. The young people are brainwashed on homosexuality. They don't know anything about this issue except the glamorous stuff they've heard on pop culture and schools and you know, from gay activist celebrities and such. And we've got to find a way to reach those people.
I agree. But, you know, we have GLSEN, who has No Name Calling Week and the Day of Silence. And I'm sure there'll be something about a Transgender Remembrance Day and coming up, or was just, I think it's coming up still.
No Name Calling Week. Give me a break. They call me Porno Pete.
Yeah.
They call us all bigots and hate mongers. I mean, these are some of the biggest name callers around. I mean, the chutzpah of these people is incredible, the hypocrisy that we see. And yet, because they have the media, Diane, that's what it is. They have no accountability from the media. And I think that's why our Republicans and conservatives are so intimidated by this issue, because they say they look out and they see a media that will not tolerate dissent on this issue.
Yeah.
And they're scared, and so they just ignore us, or they push us aside.
Yeah. And I think totally agree with that. And moving back to Maine, there was an effort, I think a year and a half, 2 year effort, because they lost in, what was it, 2009? There was an effort where the legislators had passed same-sex marriage, and then Michael Heath spearheaded an effort to rescind that, similar to what
Well, actually, it's a little more interesting than that, Diane. Michael Heath led two successful ballot measures that repealed a sexual orientation non-discrimination code. Then they finally got that passed, and one of the reasons that passed was because the Catholic Church in Portland went neutral on it. Then after it passed, then the gay activists, of course, did what we said they were going to do, which is they pushed for gay marriage.
Right.
They got a law passed in Augusta, in the state capitol, and then there was an effort to repeal that, which did pass, although Mike Heath was pushed out because he was
too
anti-gay, too extreme.
Right.
So that started a process in Maine by which Michael Heath, who was one of the more successful pro-family leaders, was sort of pushed aside, and we've seen that sort of all across the country. The more moderate pro-family groups that don't really want to talk about homosexuality tend to lead these campaigns, but now I think we can question how effective are they going to be in the long term if they're avoiding the central issue that the whole debate is about.
Yeah, just from last Tuesday, we see four reasons why they're not being successful, because they're not willing to address the issue of homosexuality, as you said. But another thing that happened after Mike Heath was successful, wasn't it 2009? It seems like the most recent time. But anyway, whatever year it was.
They won. The good guys won in 2009.
Right, in 2009. But at that point, or shortly afterwards, homosexual activists started going door to door.
Yep.
And they claimed to have knocked on over, I think, 200,000 doors between then and now. And having a conversation, that's, a conversation with
them. And they changed
it
to about their relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah, they talked about their relationships.
And love.
Why can't homosexuals love?
They got people confused, and you know what? We're dealing with a level of dedication on the other side, which makes us seem like a bunch of wimps.
Yeah.
And I think we have to decide. I think people need to decide, are you with us in this fight?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to stand with God for truth on the homosexual issue? And if you don't, my advice is just please get out of our way.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem. We're all going to be affected by this agenda.
Absolutely.
It's going to indoctrinate children in the schools.
Yeah.
It's going to take away our freedom. It's even going to come to the door of the church, because they're not going to leave the churches alone.
No.
That's a joke. They've already harassed
seen that
religious
New Jersey.
People.
Yeah.
And so if Christians can't get involved in this fight, I'd rather they just let me know
step
up front
and
move out of the way, because it's going to affect all of us, and we really want to stand for truth on this issue.
Yeah, and we have to, because of what happened last week. We have to be willing to step forward and be willing to go door-to-door, be committed enough to, because our message, as you're saying, our message is the truth. And these homosexual activists are going and not just presenting the falsehoods to kids in school, but they're going out into the public arena, going door to door, knocking on those doors, presenting a feel-good situation and not addressed, they just totally lying about the situation, and people don't know how to respond to that and
been about making a personal connection.
Yeah.
And they understand that talking to somebody who's homosexual has a big impact.
Yeah.
And so it's really marketing here. It's effective politics. Outworked us, out-hustled us, and outspent us.
Yeah, and it goes right back to After the Ball, that book After the Ball, and how they've been successful in their marketing of how they've changed strategies, and they're no longer the, by and large, although you and I both have witnessed other ways that they present themselves, but by and large, the ones who are out there in the public arena present themselves as just being normal, everyday Americans, the neighbor next door or down the street, and why can't you agree with someone like that? I mean, they're no longer they no longer present themselves as a radical.
Who just happens to be gay.
Yeah.
And, part of this is we have to be honest, Diane. Of course, we're talking also about a society in a severe moral decay.
Oh, yeah.
And so when Americans can't even make a distinction on homosexuality versus normalcy, it's really,
reflects on
we're just going
society.
Downhill so fast you can't blame it all on how effective the gay activists are in politics. A lot of it is a sort of a spiritual
warfare,
malaise or just darkness that's coming on America, where we don't really care. A lot of Americans don't really care what God thinks about certain issues anymore.
Yeah, that's true, unfortunately. And it has been going on for decades, and it is definitely speeding up. And we're talking about going over a fiscal cliff probably the end of December, but we are even nearer, I believe, going over moral cliff if we have not already gone over that cliff. And
yep.
It's
but the answer always comes back to the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear the wonderful stories of people who've left the homosexual lifestyle. It's powerful. It just gives the lie to what the homosexual activists have been saying, which is why they feel this tremendous need, even though they're winning,
right.
They feel this tremendous need to censor and say that, there's no such thing as an ex-gay, ridiculous claims like that, because they know that the truth, the funny thing about the truth is it's worth 1,000, 1,000,000 lies. And so they have to squelch the truth because they know that it reaches people and it's effective.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we're looking at these four states, and the vote was close, but it wasn't enough. And
the vote outpaced Romney, too. That's the one interesting thing.
Yeah, I was looking at those comparisons.
Romney got far less votes than the
marriage amendments or marriage issues did, for sure. And one
thing, the Republicans are now coming back and saying, just ditch the social issues. That's the lesson they're taking.
That's the worst thing they could do.
Secular-minded Republican leaders are saying, if they want to get rid of abortion, what are they going to say about homosexuality, Diane?
Yeah, I know. They definitely would. Don't want that.
Because abortion, we have the momentum.
We do. I mean, I know surveys show that the majority of Americans are pro-life. Now, why that was reflected last Tuesday, I don't know. But anyway.
I'll tell you one problem is that Romney and the Republican Party didn't.
Well,
they allowed
true.
Themselves to be defeated on the abortion
issue. On the issue,
which
to
me
all
is
the social
absolutely
issues.
Unforgivable. Yeah. Because the left just takes it over. To have Barack Obama actually campaigning with Planned Parenthood
mm-hmm.
is just so incredible
and they put
to
like
me.
15,
when all the Republicans had to say is, the American people do not want to subsidize abortion with their taxpayer dollars. That's all they had to say, but they couldn't even do that.
No, just very rarely was anything like that ever said. One encouraging thing maybe for Minnesota is that Arizona did not pass their marriage protection amendment the first round. So possibly Minnesota will look
at
this a second time.
It. That's the problem, of course.
Well,
they took out civil unions,
they just
Minnesota
did the one
might
sentence.
Try the same thing.
Yeah, well, Michelle Bachmann won, so that was encouraging.
Michelle Bachmann won
skin of her teeth.
We had some, Judge Roy Moore won.
Yes, down in Alabama, he's now the top judge on the Supreme Court down there. So that was very encouraging. You know, there's still hope. There's still some positive things that came out of the election. We look at it as a whole, but when it comes to the homosexual issue, there were major losses with these four states.
Because the Republicans threw up the white flag.
They did.
I mean, when you take an issue like don't ask, don't tell, homosexuals in the military,
mm-hmm.
and you just give it up because you lost, that to me is unforgivable. That speaks to a party which wants nothing to do with the issue. And
the issue that actually is the foundation.
Paul Ryan is a known conservative, social conservative. To see him buckle because I guess he's Romney's pick, Romney's VP. You know, we have to stand for principle.
Right.
And I can't say that enough because so many in the Republican Party, they'll want to take our principles away
mm-hmm.
to win. But what price, what price
but,
victory,
yeah,
I guess is the question,
then again,
what
then
price
again,
victory?
Yeah, then again, they did that this round, actually the last two rounds, for the presidential race, and they lost both times. So unless they can get back to the social issues that really solidify their base, which is the conservative Christians, unless they can get back to addressing this.
I want to see a conservative all around next time.
Yeah.
A guy who's a known conservative economically, in social issues and foreign policy, which is the three stools of the Reagan stool. Those three, I want to see a strong conservative. I don't want to see another moderate who has to play catch-up and learn how to be a conservative kind of as he goes, etch-a-sketch like Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I voted for Romney. I even put a Romney sign out in my yard, but it wasn't easy. I felt like I was being sort of a traitor to my own cause.
Same here.
He's so bad on the gay issue.
Yeah.
But I did it anyway because I figured Obama was so bad.
But
now,
again,
the next time around, we're not going to get one of these moderates.
No, we've lost trying that route, and it's not working. And hopefully, the Republican leadership will see that. And hopefully, these organizations that were involved in these four marriage issues, hopefully, they will see that their tactic of trying to reach out to the moderates rather than solidifying their base, which are the conservative Christians, the evangelicals by and large, and Catholics, unless they can change their tactics and not try to put out the message to draw in the moderates. You know, that's the message, respect for homosexuals. That's the message aimed at moderates. And by and large, you're not going to switch their views on this. So
right.
It's
right.
Frustrating. But hey, we still know who's in control, and that's a good thing. So
that's right.
How can folks contact you?
Yes. Oh, thanks, Diane. It's the website is AmericansForTruth.com or .org, and the email is AmericansForTruth@gmail.com.
Okay, fantastic. Hey, Peter, keep up the good work and keep the moderates or the ones who aren't quite seeing the proper way to tackle this issue, keep their feet to the fire.
Thank you. You too, Diane. Keep up your great work.
Hey, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.